Today on Real Radio.
The church will be relevant for as long as Jesus Christ is alive. Did you hear that? That's a little provocative way of saying it. You say, Pastor, he's going to live forever. He's God. That's right. That's the relevancy of the church. We don't have to worry about failing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 12. We're calling it, What Makes a Church Relevant? And it's this part of the series that Pastor Jack shows us what God's Word says about when a church is relevant. Our text today begins with 1 Corinthians 12:12. More than once, Paul uses the phrase, one spirit, when referring to the Holy Spirit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing this mini-series called What Makes a Church Relevant?
Is the church relevant today? And you've been hearing arguments every week about that. Yes, the church is relevant. But not just because we say so, but because of what the Word of God declares that the church is. This morning we're looking at a message now, part four, of when is a church relevant? The Bible teaches us right here, 1 Corinthians 12, look at with me, verse chapter 12, verse 12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We have been made to drink into one spirit. What's known as Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, you can write the verse down or follow there with me. In John 17, there's a great, beautiful prayer. You know, people have often said, this is the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. You know, technically that is not exactly true, theologically. That is not the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but the real Lord's Prayer is John 17. And Jesus said in verse 20 of John 17, I do not pray for these alone, as he prayed for his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Listen. That the world may believe that you sent me. Church, listen, before we press on, John 17, Jesus' prayer is that the world will know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, based upon the witness of the believers, us. And what makes that powerful? This is not some task that you and I need to take on by ourselves. We cannot take it on by ourselves. Jesus is saying the world will know that I'm the Son of God by the witness of these people who love me, who follow me, because, listen, the Father has sent Jesus, and Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, dwells in every believer. And that is the power and the proof of our witness today. So how relevant is the church, and when is the church relevant? Well, I tell you what, the church will be relevant for as long as Jesus Christ is alive. Did you hear that? That's a little provocative way of saying it. You say, Pastor, he's going to live forever. He's God. That's right. That's the relevancy of the church. We don't have to worry about failing. Now, there's always a remnant. You say, well, what about the Dark Ages? And what about Nazi Germany when the church was silent? And what about even today throughout America and the West where the church has departed from the truth? Listen, yes, there's always been seasons of apostasy, but there's always a remnant. And that's what I'm talking about. There's always a handful of believers that never give up. And I pray that this is that church that never gives up. When are we a church that's relevant? Listen to this. I love this verse. I don't give it to you enough, but I often think of this verse in my prayer time several times a week. I'm thinking about this particular verse just in life. So I'm going to give it to you right now. It's my personal goal, honestly. So, Pastor, what's your purpose and goal? Here it is. This is the theme of my life. And if I'm ever not living this theme out in my life, I'm asking the Lord to please forgive me and to make it the theme of my life. It's Revelation 3, 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, right, Jesus said, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens, I know your works. Behold," or "see, I have set before you an open door." Boy, I tell you, the Lord has done that for this church. "And no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You've kept my word and you have not denied my name." Church, that's our marching orders. By the way, I want to live my life and end it fulfilling that scripture right there. If I proclaim his word, knowing that he's given me a little bit of strength, that's apparently that's all you and I need to be successful for Christ, is a little bit of strength to keep his word and to not deny his name. We do that and we got it. We will stand before the Lord and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's going to happen. And I can't wait for that. Jesus, when we talk about the church and how relevant it is, we saw in verses 1 to 6, what makes a church relevant? And it was about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be coming back in the several weeks regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then we looked at verses 7 to 11. Who makes the church relevant? That is a joint team effort between the Holy Spirit possessing his people. That's the who. And now, when is a church relevant? Verses 12 to 13. Relevant or relevance is the ability of a church or of a person to connect, to communicate the message of Christ for the creation and for the development of a relationship. That's what God's called us to do. So that you and I would be relatable. As a church, we are to be relating to our culture. But listen, you've been hearing this over and over again, not by compromise, not by watering down, not by trying to apologize for the church. "Well, you know, I go to a church, but it's not like a church." Be careful when you say those things. God loves the church. Jesus loves the church. I think what you're saying is, the church that I go to is not like some old, dry, dusty church that you might be familiar with. I hope that's what you mean. But the church is alive. Jesus loves the church. He gave his life for the church. We've learned that a church relevant is a church that is biblically based. We've learned that it's a church that holds to the inerrancy of Scripture, the Bible. We've learned that a church is relevant by living and breathing as it is an organism. As a Christian believer and as a church, the Holy Spirit possesses us, sends us to the world, even though that world be just beyond our nose. You know, what is known as the Westminster Catechism, it was written in the 1640s, the Catechism was to educate the church on matters of doctrine and belief. The Catechism was composed of 107 questions and answers defining the believer's faith. But by far the most famous question of all, you don't have to be a Christian and you've heard this question, is what is the chief end of man? That came out of the 1640s catechism. What is the chief end of man? And the answer is this: man's chief end is to glorify God, number one, and to enjoy him forever. Think about that. A church relevant, when is a church relevant? When it is doing two things. Number one, when it is glorifying God. So listen, stop worrying about impressing other people. Stop worrying about if, you know, "Pastor, you know, is our church going to grow? We got to do this and we'll get in more people. If we got to do that, you know, we've got to do it this way. And we got to join this church growth seminar or download Pastor Blankety Blank's messages and preach them." What is that? That's insanity. Amen. How about this? That we glorify God. If you and I glorify God, that is going to be intoxicating. And besides, who are we trying to impress? I hope it's God only. It doesn't matter how big the church gets, it's how deep it gets. Amen. That's the real matter. So number one, if we're glorifying God, think of what that means. I could go home right now. Because of this, if you and I determine, I will glorify God and enjoy him. Augustine put it this way: love God and live as you please. Can you say that in church? Love God and live as you please? Yes, because if you love God, you're going to live a way that is going to be God-honoring. And you're going to enjoy him. And that is a tremendous question. What is man's chief end? What is the purpose of life? It is to glorify God. I heard on a talk show the other day, I was driving and my radio was on scan. And it scanned across the radio program and somebody on the program, and it caught me. I said, oh my goodness. Somebody said, well, what do you think our reason is for being here? And the person calling in said, to have as much sex as often as possible. I was shocked. What? That's the reason why we're here? Now, an evolutionary biologist might say, well, I mean, there's some truth to that. You need to reproduce the culture and the race and to propagate, and so that we're here in a billion years. As an evolutionary biologist, I could see that question, procreation being answered, okay. But purpose? A human saying, that's it. That's ridiculous. You will never be happy until you are giving glory to God. And that's no big burdensome thing. Did you see that? I know, this is first service. I can ask you this, and I'm so happy. I cannot ask third service this question. I'm going to ask you, did you see the sunrise this morning? Yeah. Awesome. It's beautiful. Can't ask that at third service. Can't ask. Unless they were driving home at that hour. Glorify God and be happy or rejoice in Him and thank Him, enjoy Him. You look at things like that and it's, wow, God, you're amazing. Point number one this morning, when is a church relevant? Number one is this, here's the answer, is that verse 12 says, when were a church born again? Write that down, would you? Born again. You say, Pastor, obviously. Well, wait a minute. There's a lot of people in this church that are not yet born again. When we are a church that's born again, the Bible tells us, we'll hear about it more and more, that without being born again, Jesus said we will not see the kingdom of heaven. We can be a church, we can be licensed in the federal government, in the state of California, we can have a steeple, we can have a cross, but unless we're born again, we're not a church, according to God's definition. Verse 12 teaches us that when we as a church are born again, listen, when we're recognized by our unity. Look at verse 12. For as the body is, the word means, by the way, currently now active, one, and has many members, that is currently presently active. It means that the body is made up of many members. The body, the church, is one, but the true church are all those in the earth that have been born again. Now, many people go to church all their lives. I know many Catholic friends. They love God. They go to church faithfully. They tithe faithfully. They serve. They own a Bible. But they don't hear about being born again. They think it's something that Christians have made up. And many, listen, I'll tell you right now, many Catholics come to this church and will come to this church on this day, this Sunday. Some of them are at Mass. I know this. They tell me. At Mass right now at local churches, Catholic churches. And they will not hear the word born again. You must be born again, Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you might say, well, I come from a Lutheran church or a Methodist church or a Baptist church. I've never heard that term. Listen, shame. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And that born again experience with God causes great unity, and the world will recognize us by that unity. It's a oneness. The church in Jesus Christ forms the body, and that is one. In Romans 12, verse 5, the Bible says, so we, being many, are one body. Notice, in Christ. Mark it. That's the key statement. In Christ. Nobody can be in Christ unless you have been born from above. The word born again means born from above. This is a profound connection between Christ and his people. In John 15, 4. The Bible says there, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That word abide in the Greek is the word meno, and it means to stay at, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to make a residence with, to be present. Listen to this. It means to stand as one or to be connected to. If you and I are connected to Christ, we are abiding in Jesus Christ. To abide means you live, you eat, you drink, you move, you talk, you exist with Christ. And you've got to be born again to experience that. And that born again experience causes a divine supernatural unity that you don't have to conjure up. We wouldn't hold hands and say, come on, let's just sing Kumbaya. Let's sing it. Okay, come on, let's hum it now. That does not cause unity. The born again experience causes unity. It is the work of God. In Colossians 1:18, the Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church, Jesus Christ. There is nothing more terrible, if you think about it, on earth than for a church to be headless, a decapitated church. And as I thought about this message and I thought about this verse, Colossians 1:18, that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. Can you imagine a church not having a head? The head, your central processing unit is your brain. It sits atop your body, this globe up here. It's the command center. Imagine when your head is detached from your body, everything stops. A church can exist. It can be big. It can be small. It can be fancy. It can be plain. It doesn't matter. But if it doesn't have a head, it's headless. Its heart is not really beating. It's moving, but it's just spasmodic jerks. It's a spasmodic reaction. And when a church is disconnected from Christ, it has no head. Separated thoughts, separated voice, separated comfort, separated power. If Jesus Christ is not the head of this church, you have no idea. There is no way for you to crawl inside my heart and mind, nor I in yours. But I can tell you this publicly. This whole thing is bigger than me. The outreach of this church is bigger than me. Nobody knows that more than me. I know what God has done here is impossible. Nobody could have done this. I know this. You see, why are you saying this? Because I'm the one constantly saying, Jesus, be the head of the church. Lord, be the pastor here. Remember, what am I, church, if you've been here for a while? What am I? Sheepdog. I'm the sheepdog. I have agreed, Lord, I'll be your sheepdog. Now, someone's going to come to me later and say, well, you know, pastor, theologically, you are the under bishop, the under pastor, and sheepdog greatly means the calling of your, and no, listen, there's the chief shepherd, and I have no problem being his sheepdog. I will bite a wolf or kill a wolf. Okay, I will chase the little lambs around and get them back into the pack. Okay, I have no problem with that. But I constantly remind him, you're the shepherd, you're the pastor, you're the head. Don't ever forget that in your life. Psalm 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. That's only possible if you've experienced the born-again relationship with Christ. And the Spirit of God is at work in your life. You will be a relevant believer. This will be a relevant church. Secondly, when we're recognized by our faithfulness, when we're a church born again, recognized by our faithfulness. Look at verse 12 goes on. But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body in faithfulness. The word united implies faithfulness. For us to be faithful to God, listen, means that we obey his commands. And his commands to us deal with our will, listen, and our self-determined choices. A lot of people get nervous when you read the Bible and it says, and Jesus said, unless you obey my commands, you have no part with me. You say, I obey his commands. Oh, they must be incredibly impossible. They're not impossible. Number one thing is this. You want to obey the commands of God? Here it is. Lord, make me loving. You see, Pastor, that's okay. I'm going to make myself loving. Don't do that to us. Please don't do that to us. Don't do that. Ask him to make you loving. Ask him to give you a willing heart. Every person, you know, I was going to say every person who longs and wants God bigger in their lives. I was in the corner of this sanctuary during worship, and nobody told you guys to stand up and lift your hands. in praise, and you started to do it. You just started, and then it was contagious, and you started to do it. And then I had to leave the sanctuary and come back here to get ready to come out, and I was going through the courtyard saying, are you seeing what's going on in there? Get in there. Hurry up. Why aren't you in there? You should see what's going on in there. It's amazing. And one pastor I walked by, I said, did you see what's going on in there? And he goes, why? What's going on? What happened? What happened? And I said, it's crazy. Why? All you were doing, no one told you to stand. No one told you to lift your hands. What were you saying by doing that? I want more of you, and I want you to have more of me. It is personal. It is that personal relationship with Christ. And listen, believe it or not, you were being faithful. Standing there, devoting yourself to God. Faithfulness. The relevant Christian is a faithful Christian. And that causes a church to be relevant. Matthew 4:19. Then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men. Notice that. What is it to be faithful? Follow. Well, what do I do? No. Not what you do. Follow. Where are we going? Don't ask. You'll never believe it if he told you. Right? Well, where are we going to go? How's it going to be? I need a roadmap. You're not going to get one, and you'll never know it unless you go with him. Amen. Imagine Jesus pulling up and opening the door and saying, come on, let's go. My granddaughter right now, it's such a cool age, 16 months old, and I can say anything. Jump right now. She's on this thing. Total trust. Put her on the wall. Jump. Boom. She jumps. Yesterday, she's walking on the wall, and she grabs my hand, and she comes to the end. She's about 2.5 feet off the end where the sidewalk is, and she just goes like this. She looked at me with a smile and stepped right off. You want to know why? Because she was looking at me, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is just like Peter and Jesus in the boat in the water. Such faith. Wouldn't it have been awesome if she steps out there and the concrete continued? Huh? To her, that would have been a reality. That comes from the born-again experience of being faithful. God will put it in you to be faithful. Our culture is in a crisis, wouldn't you agree, regarding faithfulness? Jesus said that such a church that's faithful is driven by love. John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. That's the commandment, love. And you say, Pastor, that's a toughie. It's not a toughie. It's impossible without him. Listen, keep your elbows to yourself right now. All you need to do, wife, is love your husband. And all you need to do, husband, is love your wife. But you know what? But nothing. Stick it in your ear. Quiet. Zip it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and, of course, other passages that emphasize how all true believers exist, fellowship, and function together in one spirit. This is actually a mini-series we've been hearing over the past few days here on Real Radio called What Makes a Church Relevant? Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this book of 1 Corinthians written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget to visit hischannel.com tonight to watch Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday evening at 7 o'clock, that's West Coast time, on hischannel.com. You can watch on your computer, or maybe your TV has a smart mode. Now, tonight, you're going to see the first part of Pastor Jack's interview with General Jerry Boykin. Now, General Boykin has spoken at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, a whole bunch of times, and he gives accurate reports on what's taking place on the international stage. Hotspots like Iran, North Korea, Israel, of course. So, Real Life with Jack Hibbs tonight, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on hischannel.com. Just click Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our phone number here at Real Radio, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.